Our Old Testament reading this morning will come from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verses 1 through 10, which is found on page 615 of your pew Bibles. So this time let us listen to God's word for us. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a hart and the tongue of the dumb sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not pass over it, and fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from chapter 11 of Matthew's Gospel, which is found on page 844 of your pew Bibles. We'll be reading from verse 2 through verse 11 in chapter 11 of Matthew's Gospel. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is he who takes no offense at me." And they went away. Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to behold? A reed shaken by the wind? Why then did you go out? To see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, those who wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. Why then did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The words of the Lord. Well, we have one more Sunday with John the Baptist, the one who comes to prepare the way for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last week, of course, when we left John the Baptist, he was fully in his prophetic element. He was in the wilderness down by the River Jordan, baptizing and preaching a word of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. At that time, he was bold, he was He was confident, he was certain of his mission, and he would become certain of who Jesus was. When Jesus comes out to the wilderness to be baptized, John recognizes him for who he is. This is the Son of God. Behold, says John, I'm not even worthy to tie your sandals. John recognizes Jesus. But what a difference a little bit of time makes. This week, he is in prison. He is there because he has dared to criticize King Herod for marrying his deceased brother's wife. And John knows all too well that it will probably mean death. And in prison, of course, one has an opportunity to do some deep thinking. And John, who has put his whole life on the line, John, who has given everything to prepare the way for Jesus, he now begins to wonder. Wonder whether Jesus is the one who has come to save his people. Whether Jesus is the one who has come to save Israel. Whether Jesus is the one who has come to save the world. We often talk about our faith or express our faith as a movement from darkness to light. I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind but now I see. I was stumbling in darkness and confusion but now I have come to the light. But it's interesting this morning that John's trajectory is the reverse from that. John begins in the light. He begins knowing who Jesus is. He begins knowing that he is the one to prepare the way. But now, sitting in prison again, he is not so sure. And so he sends emissaries to Jesus to ask the question, are you the one? Are you the one we've been waiting for? Or should we look for another? I always appreciate this little story coming as it does in the season of Advent. In this season when there's all kinds of festive gatherings going on, there's hymns that are being sung. There are people who are filled with joy. We lit the joy candle this morning. But we are reminded that there are also people who are undergoing deep pain. There are people who are grieving. There are people who are recuperating from sickness and illness. There are people for whom this time of year is not the joyous occasion that we sometimes pretend that it is. And so John's question is one that is perhaps on lots of people's minds. It is a question that has reverberated down through the ages. It's not just John's question, but it's a question that we sometimes ask as well. We've all been there with John at one point or another in our lives. It's easy to profess our faith in Jesus when things are going well and everything is running relatively smoothly, but it's during those dark moments in our lives when we are imprisoned. When we are imprisoned by our fears, our anxieties, imprisoned by our heartbreaks, our grief, our frustrations, our disappointments with ourselves and with the world around us, it's during those times when we, too, sometimes ask John's question. Jesus, are you the one? Are you the one, Jesus, that we have been waiting for? Are you the one who has come to save us, who have come to liberate us? Are you the one? Or should we be looking for someone else? John's problem, of course, and sometimes our problem, is centered around our expectations. See, we all have these expectations of God. We have these expectations of Jesus. We know the kind of Jesus, the kind of Messiah that we want. In John's day, many people were looking for the Messiah, but they all had different kind of expectations of what that Messiah would be like. For some people, it was a priestly Messiah that they were waiting on. A Messiah that would purify the temple, would purify the land, would purify the hearts of the people. For some people, it was kind of a prophetic Messiah that they were waiting on. A Messiah that would bring judgment and fire. For some people, it was kind of a military Messiah that they was waiting on. A Messiah that would come and make Israel great again. A Messiah that would come and help Israel to win and to win and to win. Israel would win so much they'd get tired of winning. That's the kind of Messiah that some people were waiting on. And John seems to have been waiting for all of these. Jesus would be the embodiment, or the Messiah would be the embodiment of all of these. And so John is waiting. But Jesus doesn't appear to be the kind of Messiah that he's looking for. Instead of judgment and fire, he brings forgiveness. Instead of purifying the temple and purifying the land, the critique of Jesus was that he was eating with drunkards and wine bibbers, partying. And instead of gathering a force around him that might storm the temple and palace in Jerusalem, Jesus is going around saying things like, love your neighbors and love your enemies as well. And so we can understand John's confusion, because his expectations are not being met. We have our own expectations, of course. We have the kinds of Messiah that we want Jesus to be. Sometimes what we're looking for is a great big cosmic bellhop that will do all of our bidding, that will make our lives comfortable, that will rid us of all of our problems, that will take care of everything that we want God to take care of. Sometimes the Messiah that we want is the Messiah that will come and free us from having to do any of the hard work that we sometimes are called to do as God's people in the world. A Messiah that will heal all of our bruises and soothe all of our pains. Sometimes the Messiah that some people are looking for is a kind of the prosperity, the Messiah that will come and bring riches and success if we just sow the right kind of seed. For some people, the Messiah that they expect is the kind of social justice Messiah, a Messiah that will come and fight against all those things that oppress us. For some people, the kind of Messiah that they're looking for is a Messiah that will rapture all of us away into heaven and will come and beat up our enemies. And of course, there's the spiritual Messiah, the Messiah who's only concerned with taking us to heaven and ruling over a spiritual kingdom in heaven. The advantage of that Messiah is that it allows us to call whatever kind of Messiah we want down here on earth, to do whatever we think can save us. But Jesus didn't come to fulfill our expectations. Rather, he comes to fulfill God's expectations. He comes to do the will of God, which means that we don't get the kind of Messiah that we want or expect, but we do get the Messiah that we need, the Savior that we need. One of the things to remember during this Advent season is that the symbol of our faith is not a Christmas tree. It's not a Christmas wreath. It's not Santa Claus. The symbol of our faith is a cross. And that's the kind of Savior that Jesus came to be. That's the kind of Messiah that Jesus came to be. He came to be the kind of Messiah that would walk the way of the cross. He came to be the kind of Messiah that will call us away from our sins. I was asking in Sunday school this morning about what we are expecting in a Savior. And someone said, a Savior that comes to save us from our sins. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. He came to save us from our sins by walking the way of the cross. He came to save us from ourselves. To save us from our deep-seated hatreds. To save us from our prejudices. To save us from our greed. To save us from our disregard for our neighbors. To save us from our penchant to make life only about ourselves. He came to save us from our blindness, our inability to see people beyond our borders. He came to save us from our violence, our belief that we can save ourselves from violence. He came to save us from all of that. He came to walk the way of the cross because that's what God expected him to do. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't answer John's question directly. I wish Jesus would have given John a more direct answer. I wish Jesus would have said, sure, John, I've got this. Don't worry. I am, of course I'm the Messiah. I'm the one who's come to save you. Don't worry, I got it. Jesus doesn't say anything like that. Instead, he says, go tell John what you see. And what you hear, go tell John about the poor that are being preached to. Go tell John about the hungry who are being fed. Go tell John about those who are blind, who are now able to see. Go tell John about all of those ways that God's work is being done in the world. No, there's no fire and brimstone. No, the Romans are still in place. No, there's not what you think it's going to be. But go tell John what you see and what you hear about the way that people are being liberated. And then Jesus says something strange. He says, blessed are those who don't take offense at me. I used to wonder, why in the world would anybody take offense at Jesus? But it all depends on what you are expecting. Some of us are offended when we are expecting one thing and we get another. Some of us are offended when we want one thing and God gives us something else instead. When we're looking for one kind of Savior and we get another kind of Savior. And some of us are offended. Some people even today are offended by a Jesus who walks the way of the cross. We're offended by a Jesus that says, love your neighbor and love your enemy too. We're offended by a Jesus that says, if you have two coats, give one to your neighbor. And if he asks for your second coat, give him that too. We're offended by a Jesus that says if someone wants you to walk a mile, walk 2 miles. We are offended by a Jesus who is concerned not for the rich and the powerful and those who are well positioned, but by one whose primary concern is for the least of these. We are offended by a Jesus that says, turn the other cheek. We are offended by a Jesus that says, blessed are the meek and the peacemakers. We are offended by that because that's not the kind of Savior that we want. We don't want that kind of Savior. We don't want that kind of Messiah. We want a Messiah who is confident, a Messiah who is brass, a Messiah who will fight back, a Messiah who knows how to stick it to our enemies, a Messiah who talks tough. But that's not the kind of Messiah that we get in Jesus. We get a Messiah who walks the way of the cross. And here's the thing. God still has expectations. God has expectations of you, and he has expectations of me, and he has expectations for all of God's people. God still has expectations that we too will walk the way that Jesus walked. Jesus, of course, has already done the hard part, but we are called to follow him, which means that we are called to give our very life to God, our very life following in the way of Jesus. I was reminded of a quote by C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity, in which Lewis spelled out God's expectations for all of us. And he says, I have not come to torture your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. God expects us to hand over your whole natural self, all the desires which you think innocent, as well as the ones you think are wicked. And I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself. My own will shall become yours. And we're reminded that that's what John the Baptist did. He gave his whole self to God. And that's what we are called to do as well. To give our whole selves to God. And so in this season of light, in this season of festivity, In this season of partying and hymn singing and consuming and shopping, remember what this season is really about. It's about the God who gave his whole self to us and expects us to give our whole self to him in return. Are you the one? Are you the one to do that? Or will God have to look for another? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your loving, gracious spirit in our midst on this season of Advent, this season of light. We ask, Lord, that you help us to be sent out as your people who burn brightly with the light of your love and graciousness and hope in all that we do. Help us, Lord, to be what you expect us to be. People who follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in all that we do. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.